Welcome, everyone, to KRFY's Morning Show monthly feature, Garden Life. My name's Julie Prochinski, and I'm here with my favorite co-host, Julie Calamine.
Of course, your only co-host, Julie Calamine. Hi, Julie.
Hi, Julie. And we have a recorded interview today with our guest, Abby Slew, from East Bonner County Garden and Seed Librarian.
Back up a second. Abby's name is pronounced Slough.
Slough. I already said it wrong.
And if you look at the spelling, we really want to call her Abby Slough.
And that's how I know you're a telemarketer.
Very funny.
So she wouldn't answer us if we called her that.
Slow maybe, but not Slough. Okay.
Slough. Very good, Abby. Good to have you on this morning.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
So let's start by you introducing yourself and telling us, what is your job at the library?
So my name is Abby, as you covered, and I just started at the library in March, and I'm super honored to be there. It's been such a dream job for me. I've been living in this area in Sandpoint since 1994, and I've been gardening since 2008, 2009, and it's just always been a hobby passion of mine, and so this kind of just lines up with working at farms and farming for myself, and so working at the library has turned into maintaining and caring for the garden there, which if you have not been there, you need to go. It is super beautiful and so full of character. And then along with the taking care of the garden is taking care of the seed library. And yeah, that's what I do.
How did the idea of the seed library begin?
Well, people have been sharing and saving seeds, obviously, for a very long time. And I did a little research and backed up to our seed libraries, dreamed upness.
Mm-hmm. History.
History.
Yes.
And it was Elise Tuma and Camille McKendrick.
Okay.
They have retired since. Mm-hmm. But in 2012, they came up with the idea to put the seed library in the building before the garden. This was pre-garden. It kind of became a movement in the early 2000s. Nationwide to do seed libraries in libraries, and I think they were just kind of like following suit with that.
And we were wondering who originated it, because one of our he's a current broadcaster, mm-hmm. He just doesn't live in Sandpoint anymore. Mike.
Mm-hmm. Mike Bauer.
Right. Was helped with that at one point. We weren't sure if he originated, but he was one of many then.
He may have been more the garden part of the library, where the seed started first. The seed saving started first.
Yes, the seed library, I think, took place first, and then the garden came along. And that name does sound familiar, being brought up in this search, mm-hmm. Of trying to find out how far back it went and everything. So, yeah.
Yeah, it is nationwide. I did go online and see that it's a natural fit for libraries. It's a collection of seeds shared by anyone in the community. Borrowed seeds are grown and returned, and those seeds replenish the collection for future borrowers. So it's a perfect fit for the library.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So let's get into those details. How do you borrow seeds? What's the process?
So the process is you come over to our seed catalog, which is located between the information desk and the audiovisual section of the library. And we kind of have a limit right now. People can take whatever seed varieties they want, but a limit to 5 packets at a time, just to help maintain control. And there are no library cards required. You do not have to check them out at the desk.
Okay, I was going to ask you that.
Yeah, it's just like a self-serve.
Okay.
With the honor system in mind, that the seeds that you take and grow at the end of their growing season and their life cycle in your garden,
that you bring them back to the library so they can be then recycled back out to the community. So it's a self-sustaining system of seeds going in and going out, or coming in and going out. Yeah.
Then you take those seeds and you plant them.
Yes.
Or yep. whoever takes them plants them. And then they grow them up. But what are some of the problems if people were to take seeds and plant them? Is there any information that they would get from you as far as any issues with growing up the seeds and growing up the plants and saving the seeds?
Hmm.
I'm thinking like cross-pollinating, you know, some of those issues.
Or maybe to rephrase it, are there instructions that come along with receiving the seeds and growing them and then returning seeds from those plants? Do you help folks with that a little bit?
Yes. On the seed packets, if they have been seeds, we have a lot of people that donate just seed packets like from the store, which is fine. But I don't repackage those. I just put those back in the catalog and then someone can have that opportunity to grow that seed if they want. But if it's from the library source of borrowing and returning seeds, I print out descriptions, all that plant information, how many days, cross-pollinating hazards, or, you know, how to know when it's done to produce seed, when to harvest. I kind of give a little tidbit of that information on the seed packet itself. Okay. So to kind of help. But there is also really good books on the topic that we have at the library. I put my favorite up on the seed catalog right now because people need to start like thinking about that. And it's called The Seed Garden. It gives great information about almost anything you could possibly want to grow. And yeah, how to save seeds, how to grow enough of the plant to get a good stable seed source out of it, because you need to plant more than one. And did I answer your question?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, a lot of information you can get from you or the library itself, mm-hmm. because you have books at the library, a lot of seed saving books there. Mm-hmm. So when we look at who is taking the seed, is everyone bringing seeds back to you that they have grown, or how is that working out? Are you getting a lot of comeback as far as that goes? And how do you encourage people to bring it back?
So since I've just started this year in March, I have had a lot of donations come in, but unfortunately, a lot of them are seed packets from the store.
Oh.
Not a lot are from the farmer and the community members, which is what I'm really wanting and really wanting to like encourage people to do. It's becoming, I've heard from other staff members that it has become a problem where people take seed but don't bring it back. There is nothing in place right now to monitor that at all. I'm kind of thinking of a fun little like program, almost like a game that people could play, or, you know, like a bingo kind of a thing, where if they take a seed, they get a special card if they want to participate, and then they get that card stamped with the varieties. And then at the end of the season, when they bring the seeds back from that crop, they get entered to win some sort of prize, or they get entered into a drawing. I'm trying to come up with something fun for next spring to start that summer off, because like I said, I just started. So it's like I'm coming up with all of these problems and issues with yes. how it's going right now and how to motivate people to bring the seeds back.
Right.
Yeah. So,
right.
And so to be continued.
And maybe to have a library label, you know, this is a library seed. This is a seed that we've grown and proved to be good seed and a popular seed. And we want to keep that seed coming back. And maybe it would be, you know, not all the seeds, but just the best of the seeds.
Right. Maybe like a gold star seed. Yeah. We really want that to come back.
Gold star seed.
You know, this wouldn't be something you could probably do, but Round Lake State Park has a system. They're harvesting invasive snails out of the lake all summer, and they've incentivized the kids and the grown-ups that if they, what do they have to bring in, 20 snails
uh-huh.
or something, they get a little ice cream bar.
Yeah, but, exactly.
You know, so there's all kinds of fun ways to encourage people to help out
and yeah.
do fun things.
Yeah, I could see getting people to bring seeds back is probably the crux of the problem, because that's much more complicated. I mean, why do you think it's so important that we save and trade seeds? Do you have any opinion on that?
Oh, yes.
Oh, good.
Give it to us.
It's more of like whoever has, like, let's talk food security, right? So whoever has the food has the power, or whoever has control of the seeds has control of the food source. So if we have only seed companies to rely on for our food source, even to big agricultural farmers, they go through the same thing, then we are kind of, you know, nailed on that cross of I only have these seeds
yes,
to get from. And
right.
it really is limiting. And something that I just found out recently was that a lot of seeds from seed stores and seed departments stores are grown out of this country.
Oh.
And then shipped over to us over here. So they're not even locally adapted seeds, which is my next.
Yes, I was going to go yes. there if mm-hmm. you didn't. Go
yeah,
for it.
It's by having this seed library and donating to it, you are contributing to sustainable food and seed source for the community that is locally adapted seeds. These seeds hold a history and a story in them, and they have already grown here and they know what to do. They know what insects are around them. They know how much water they're going to get or how much they're not.
Mm-hmm. Tailored.
Yes,
tailored to
it's
the
very,
area.
Yes. And they just learn that and they take that to the next season and they do better, and they just keep getting better and better. And grow better for us. Yeah.
Yes, and I'll just interject that a frequent guest here on Garden Life is Diane
Green
of Green Tree Naturals. Thank you. And she is religious almost in her fanaticism about the story in the seed that is adapted to its location. And it's true. And she has success because over the years she's been able to really save her seeds, pick the best ones, and regrow those plants.
Mm-hmm.
And we see the success in her great garden.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's interesting because she even says it's a different seed. After you saved it the next year and the next mm-hmm. year and the next year, that seed is evolving and becoming a different...
Yes. More suited to
yeah,
its environment.
Yeah, more suited, exactly.
Yes.
I thought that was very interesting. It's a different seed. Just it like is. Your child's a different person than you. It's a different...
Let's hope so.
Like a growing intelligence.
Yes.
Yes. Yes,
yes right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I hope you can get her with the seed saving. I know she's been a big part of the helping the library with their seed saving program, and I'm sure we'll be seeing her out there.
Yes, absolutely. I am looking forward to working with her.
Good.
Yes.
Well, a very big part of seed saving is knowing the difference between open pollinated versus hybrid seeds. Can you talk to us about that?
Yes. And the brief description is open pollinated. You can save seeds from that plant and not worry about it cross pollinating so much. With like, so tomatoes, if a tomato is open pollinated and you save that seed from that tomato, you're going to get that same tomato
the next
year.
Right.
If you plant a hybrid plant, that hybrid came from two different plant sources to make that it was cross pollinated.
Yes.
And so that next generation of seed, it could be a cousin of mm-hmm. that first, you know, mm-hmm. parent siring plant. It could be something kind of close, but not exactly.
Yes, right. It's kind of like when you breed a golden retriever with a poodle they don't all, the doodles do not all look alike,
no,
do they?
No, sometimes more retriever, sometimes more poodle. Right.
It's not a, it doesn't necessarily breed true and probably won't.
Exactly.
Yeah. So the seeds the library has are all open pollinated. That's something that you expect from the people.
That is something that I really want to hit home to the people that want to save seeds and bring them back to the library, is I would really prefer to know that they know that I only want pollinated.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, because, for example, the seeds from the seed packets are often are hybrids.
Yes.
And so we can't assume that they are open. Your seed could turn into a lot of different things. Right.
Usually the packets do say
open.
Open. Or, you know, you have to go to a reputable seed dealer, too, and buy reputable seeds. And a lot of times they're from the company that way.
Right.
So Snake River Seed Cooperative,
yes.
They are a local out of Boise seed co-op, and their focus is on open pollinated varieties. So yes, you definitely have to find the reputable source that you want to replicate the seeds from if you want to just buy from the seed packet and not get them from the seed library.
Right. But the good way to do it would be to get it from the seed library. Then that is already, that T is already crossed, and you don't have to worry about that. So let's talk about actually saving the seeds. How do you know when they're ready to collect the seeds? Is there some indicator, or are all seeds different?
Seeds are, the plants produce the seeds differently, so they might have a different look to them, like beans and peas, right? Like those are the seed pod, but we usually eat those. Flowers, same thing. After they bloom, they'll kind of start to grow a seed pod where the petals were. That's the seed. But then...
will they dry? Do you wait for them to dry visibly, or do you pick seeds when they're still green?
So when you're growing seed, it's different than growing food. We eat the plants and the produce much faster than when the seed is actually viable. So we need to let it sit there for a long time. I recommend, and I started putting this on the packets, harvest this plant until you are sick of it, and then let some go to full completion and let the process happen. It's going to be ugly. It's going to be wrinkled.
Mm-hmm.
That squash skin is going to be so hard, you're not going to be hardly able to cut it open. That's when you know that the seed for those kinds of things are ready. Same thing with tomatoes, because the seeds are inside of like zucchinis and squash and tomatoes, and so we don't see those. But it's usually way end of season. We let them sit for a very long time. And yeah, that's
the difference. You need to target them. You look for the best of that plant too sometimes. The tallest, the most robust, the earliest, that kind of thing. All the different features that you want.
Absolutely.
Are there some plants that are really simple and easy to collect seed from? Are there certain veggies that you would have folks start with if they're new to seed collecting? Like some really easy guys. Imagine squash.
Peas.
Herbs.
Oh, herbs. Sure.
Flowers.
Beans.
Peppers are usually pretty easy to collect. Mm-hmm. Don't need a lot of work. Tomatoes are a little intimidating for people, I think, but they really are very easy to seed save. You don't have to do all these super fancy techniques, but also you can if you want to. But those are kind of, tomatoes, peppers, beans. Yeah.
Sure. I found that certain like greens, for example, arugula and some lettuces, you're not even trying to save seed, and they'll sometimes drop seed and just start up again in your planting bed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You actually have to really watch that.
Yes.
That's a good indicator of what would be a good thing to save, because it's already easy. And I have a lot of my reseeding annuals that I save every year, you know, the poppies and alyssum and all those annuals that if you don't mess with the garden, you'll have them reseeded all over the place for the next year. Yeah. And that was the first thing I started saving, and that was the easiest because they were already kind of ready for me.
Yeah, flowers
are a good way to start.
There you
go. Do you have a collection of flowers and vegetables, or is it mostly vegetables that you're collecting there at the library?
Both.
You do get both. Okay.
Yeah.
Good, because there are a lot of flowers that are very easy to start too, or to keep.
Mm-hmm. I've got a question. I think this is a good question. Some seeds need to have a cold period before they will work the next year. And how do we know if our seed would need that?
That is a very good question. A lot of times it will say on the seed packet, needs stratified in some way. Sometimes it's not even necessarily cold stratification that it needs, but it needs to be like roughed up.
Oh.
Like a bird would do to it before it eats it and then, you know, self-seeds that way. So sometimes you can get away with just cutting the seed a little bit and scraping that layer and then cold stratifying. Yeah, usually say, like, if you're questioning it, I mean, the age of the internet, right?
Right.
Look it up. So easy to find and look up that information if you're curious. But if you're storing your seeds in a cool, dry, dark place, I mean, I've started seeds for so many years and I have not stratified seeds and still had them germinate. I might not have the best germination rate, but I don't know. Seeds want to grow.
Yes.
That's true.
It's in their biology to grow.
I want that bumper sticker.
Yeah.
Seeds want to grow.
Let's talk a little more about storing the seeds. I think that's a very good place to go as far as the dark, the cool, the dry. And will we keep our seeds and turn them into the library in the spring of next year, or will we turn them in this coming fall? I mean, how are you managing that?
The way that I am noticing with the garden and the life cycle of a seed is it kind of happens year round. Some things will wait until the fall, right? Like those squash and those melons or, you know, the tomatoes, we want to wait till they're at the end. But things like spinach and your bok choy that bolted on you that you didn't get to quite harvest all of it, like those, I just cut like 10 stalks of bok choy seeds that were just starting to brown and open up on me in my garden. So I cut those down and I'm letting them finish drying out in a box. So I kind of feel like it just depends on what you are wanting to save the seeds for. I will take seed donations whenever you have
okay,
them.
Okay, so
there
that's
is no on-off for accepting donations.
Okay,
good.
And what kind of information is the public going to give you with that seed? I mean, will they have to write everything that they know about the seed, or what do you expect?
Oh, that would be lovely if they did, but not expected. I would prefer to know what it is. Believe it or not, I have had a couple donations where it was just like in an envelope. I'm like, I think this is some sort of squash, but there's so many varieties. So yeah, as much information as you can. I do have sheets, donation sheets by the donation box at the seed catalog. Right now they're green, so very eye-catching. And it just kind of asks that basic information. Now, if you don't want to put your address and where it was grown, that feels like too much of a stretch, then you don't have to put that. But yeah, the basic information. I'm not going to call you or hound you unless I'm really curious. I'm pretty respectful, but it is nice to know, like, okay, these are from the area.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, harvested last year. That's great news, things to know, and not like 2020 or 2019.
Sure. Yes, the year.
Things like that, the year that it was harvested and collected, and then
location.
Location.
General location.
You can put your name. You don't have to put your name, you know. Yeah, whatever the patron is comfortable. Yeah, comfortable with.
It's probably kind of nice to have a some kind of database of the people who are saving seeds that you can call on. Hey, we're out of lettuce. Do you have any more lettuce saved? Or something like that, if that was ever going to be developed. Possibly.
It already is.
Oh!
Dun, dun, dun.
Okay.
It took me a while to find, but it does exist. There are a couple patrons in the area that are... This one lady in particular, she is a seed farmer. That's all she grows for is for seed. And she lives in the community. And so she is a fantastic resource. And a lot of our seed at the seed library is from her garden.
And we're, after this interview, we're getting her name and number from you because we want to interview her.
Yes,
we do.
Because she's
golden ticket.
Fun. All right. She does sound fun. A lot of experience. So coming up this summer, is there any classes or anything happening this summer as far as seed saving that we should be aware of?
Yes, here in a couple weeks, July 16th, at the library in the garden, I am going to have Casey O'Leary from Snake River Seed Cooperative. She is the founder of the co-op, and she is a fabulous educator. I went to her class last summer, and it was just lovely. She's so personable and funny, and she really does make seed saving seem just so easy and just removes all of that stressfulness of it, right? It really can be fun.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, she's teaching a class for us. It's from 5 to 6:30 on July 16th.
On July 16th. Great. And then I see there's a tea blending class. Is that your class?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
I am teaching a tea blending workshop. I personally grow a lot of herbs. Herbal medicine is something that I have just really connected with on a personal level. And tea has gotten really expensive.
Yes.
I can't believe it. And so it just is something fun that I love and enjoy, and I want to share that with others. And you'll get to make your own tea blend. I will supply all the herbs, and you'll get to take your tea blend home and sample it before you go. Make sure you like it and it's just right.
And it might have some, you know, some benefits nutritionally or medicinally, possibly.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, when you talk about growing your own food and that connection that takes place, just your touch, when you touch your seedlings and, you know, say hello to them or sing them a song, you are connecting with them and they are picking up what you need from them. Like, it's a symbiotic relationship that happens. It's the same thing with medicinal herbs, even tenfold. I have herbs pop up in my garden that I didn't know what they were, and then I looked them up and it's like, oh yeah, I am having a problem with inflammation and this herb is all over my garden.
Oh my gosh.
Now, and it just like came to me. And so
yeah. I mean, it sounds a little woo-woo, but listeners, you can't see our guest, but it's like all the herbal ladies and men,
yes,
who come in and interview, they are all just glowing with health.
Yes.
And
it is.
It's true.
It
look
is
at her.
True. Absolutely.
So
you're
healthy.
The seed gardener, but you're the seed librarian, but you're also the garden librarian. So what does the garden bring to the library?
It brings a place of rest and relaxation, but also a place of education and learning. We're holding a lot of classes out in the library and as like an educational space. They may or may not have to do with gardening, but for the most part, they have to do with that avenue.
Mm-hmm.
And we are growing seed for the seed library is the mission of the garden itself.
Okay, okay. So you're growing a lot of your own seed for the seed exchange.
Yes, to help sustain the seed catalog.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and
the
I will
seed
say
library.
I have to add this. You know, the library for me is kind of a place of solace, calm, quiet, learning, etc. And that garden shares those characteristics. It's a great place to spend a little time.
It really is.
A lot of the kids' programs go on out there. I see there's a yoga class out there. You're always out there. And most of your classes are out there as well.
Yes, that's correct.
Wow, yeah. That's a fabulous
place.
Fabulous place. So give us some information about the library. How do we get in touch with you? How do we learn more about everything that's happening out there?
If you have access to the internet, our website is fabulous. Even with the seed library and the garden, I have my own page on our website that you can go and search all the information about what seeds I will accept, what the guidelines are and the seed standards, just all of that information pretty much that I just talked about is all on the website. If you want to contact me directly, email is really the best part because I'm in and out of the building so much. But yeah, email Abby, ABBY, at ebonnerlibrary.org.
Okay.
Seed and garden librarian.
Yeah.
Abby Slough.
Slough.
Thank you. Thank you so much for coming in and giving us everything that's going on at the library's garden and seeds. It's been great to have you.
Yeah. I say, listeners, check it out. Abby, there must still be seeds, even though it's now kind of getting to midsummer. If people come in and look for that catalog, which you told us is near the reference desk, there's still some seeds in there.
There are some. I am slowing down a little bit. So people, bring your seeds in. We need you.
Okay. Yes.
It takes a community.
That's right. All right. Well, Abby, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
It's been nice having you.
Mm-hmm. Because you know I'm all about them books, no Kindle. I'm all about them books, no Kindle. I'm all about them books, no Kindle. I'm all about them books, books. Yeah, it's pretty clear, the book is tried and true.
How about that? We're all about them books. Isn't that funny?
No Kindle.
YouTube, people, is excellent, excellent video. So now we're on to the second half of our show with Amy Midstoke of Sandpoint Alliance for Equality, or SAFE is their acronym. And she's here to share Sandpoint's Pride events and festivities coming up all this week. So welcome, Amy, and take a minute and tell us a little bit about yourself and what your role is with SAFE.
Well, thanks for having me, ladies. Yeah. It's so great to be here. I am over-caffeinated and over-excited.
We are too.
It's that song. We all have the boogies on us now. Yeah, it is our sixth annual Pride Week here in Sandpoint, Idaho. And every year that we have hosted it since its inception, thanks to Andrea Marcocchio of Matchwood 6 years ago, it has grown and expanded to be more inclusive, and family-friendly, and really a community-wide event that has just inspired our hearts to keep it going and been a true demonstration of how Sandpoint really is an inclusive community and shows up to support and celebrate our LGBTQ community members. So we are just thrilled. And every year we say we need to do a little less because it's a huge thing to pull off. And then every year as we have board meeting after board meeting, we start going, well, you know what else we could do? And so it continues to expand as our programming tends to do. So I am the current chair of Sandpoint Alliance for Equality, and I've been on the board since its inception. We're a 501c3 here in Sandpoint. And it was the birth child of we used to just be Pride. And once a year we had this one party and it was great. And all the queer folk came out and we got to celebrate them. And then the community said, well, this is nice, but we're here year round. What else can you guys do? And we have other needs. We need resources. We need a supportive community. And we need presence. And sometimes what's referred to as queer culture. So when you go into other towns like Quincy, California is a similar town to ours, very small. I think they're actually smaller, about half the population. They have rainbow flags everywhere. And it just, you go in there and it just feels welcoming, particularly if you're a queer person. And so we have expanded our programming over the years to include things like our rights and resistance meetings that we have in the wintertime once a month at Matchwood. We have open mics. We have a writing retreat this year that we're just thrilled about to teach people how to storytell and to publish because their voices matter. We have, of course, this year's Pride event, which has a ton of amazing things happening. We had Pride on the Mountain as our first annual Pride on the Mountain this year in collaboration with Schweitzer. So we're really just overwhelmed with gratitude and joy to see this spread throughout our community and the welcoming that we've had. And then, of course, we do resourcing and advocacy work. So if there are families, for example, who have a trans kid who's just come out or they're wrestling with their identity, then we can connect them to organizations that can offer them mental health support and anything else they might need. So that's our organization, and that's my role there. And yeah, and we're getting excited. Tomorrow is our official beginning of Pride.
All right, let's start. What's the first event?
The first event is this radio show, obviously.
Wow, we're on the schedule.
You're on the schedule now. Well, tomorrow night, myself and Lindsay Zembauer, who's another board member, and I are starting to swim from Buttonhook Bay, which is the south tip of Lake Ponderay, all the way to Sandpoint City Beach.
Wow.
Yeah, it is among some of the worst ideas I've had. And that list is long.
That's a long swim.
It is.
How many miles?
It's almost 33 miles.
Whoa.
If you could swim a straight line, one of my many swimming challenges is that I can't swim in a straight line. So I just kind of zigzag my way, which probably is why I'm so slow.
And it makes it into more miles, Amy.
I know. I'm working on that. I feel like I need a tow rope or something.
And I see there's going to be a big celebration to welcome you guys to City Beach.
Yeah. So we will be swimming all night long with our safety boat and a safety kayaker. We'll be lit up and bringing the pride to the lake. It's really a part of just symbolic of representation in the outdoors, and the outdoors being our common ground here in North Idaho, mm-hmm. where we have so many diverse opinions and religious values. And I always joke that our diversity here comes in like the kinds of Christians we have. And we really want to celebrate like the entire community. And so for us, it is really about like, hey, we all love the outdoors and we want the outdoors to be a safe space for all demographics. And so we'll be swimming all night long. And then sometime in the late afternoon, we're going to creep around Contest Point and land at Sandpoint City Beach. So from 5 to 7 p.m., people can watch our final approach and cheer with us. And we will ring a gong and declare it officially Pride, Sandpoint Pride Festival here in town. And then I will collapse and eat a bunch of French fries or something.
And we've got to back up for a second because I have another concern about your swim in the night across all of Lake Ponderay. Are you thinking at all about the Ponderay paddler?
I am terrified of the Ponderay paddler.
I would be.
Yeah. And we're swimming like right through where I'm pretty sure it likes to hang out at night. And then I am covered with hormone replacement therapy cream.
Oh, no.
So I think I'm like a vitamin. I'm just like a little vitamin for him. And I'm pretty, yeah, I actually was swimming the other day and fish were bumping into me. And I was like, okay, that feels like a fish. So if it's the paddler, it's going to feel bigger. It's going to feel bigger, yeah.
Just don't scream underwater, trying to come up and scream.
Do you remember when you were kids and you like swam in the dark without any clothes and you're like, oh, this is so liberating. I am not having that experience.
I swam in the Missouri River, so nothing was safe in that river. If you couldn't see your toes, you were very nervous.
Yeah. Interesting. I didn't know you were from Missouri. I have an imported husband from Missouri.
I'm from Nebraska, actually. Okay. It borders the Missouri.
Oh, okay.
But okay, so that's Thursday night. 5 to 7 is the second event that
after happens. This morning show.
That's right. And then what keep going. Tell us what else is happening.
Oh, ladies, it's such a wild weekend. So on, so that's Thursday night. Then we're all going to march over in a flag waving parade to Matchwood and just cheer. And they will, their crew will be getting prepared for Friday's events and Saturday's events. So on Friday afternoon, in the evening, we have an open mic night. That is at, I forgot. We also have teen game night happening at Eichhardt's Pub from 5:30 to 7 p.m. And that is tomorrow night, I think. Oh, I don't have that right on my calendar. Do you have it on your calendar? We moved it around a couple times, so I'm like, oh, no.
I don't know if it's Thursday or Friday. Thursday is when you paddle in, but maybe it is Thursday night after the paddle.
No.
It's Friday at the same time as the open mic at Heartwood?
No, I'll have to check that out.
Okay, folks.
I'm sure the rest of my board is like, Amy, this is the one thing you needed to know.
Hey, there's a place they can find that information. Give it right now so people can look it up.
safe-idaho.org.
Okay, it's all on there.
And I will look it up before the end of our call, too, or our chat here. So we have teen game night happening. That's going to be at Eichhardt's, and that's super fun. Our friend Louie is hosting that, and he is fabulous and just a delight to hang out with. So even going for the entertainment of time with Louie will be worth it. And then on Friday night, we have from 6:30 to 9 p.m. our open mic at Heartwood Center, and there's a happy hour hosted by Matchwood there. We have some musical guests earlier in the evening. Megan McCormick and Amanda Fields are coming to entertain us. And then the open mic starts at 7:30 and all kinds of community members come out and do everything from telling jokes to reading poetry to debut songs on the piano.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really great to hear the voices of our community just come out and share. And it's so vulnerable as well. I am entertained to no end. I remember last year Zen Fiskins did Summertime on her guitar and it was amazing.
That's fabulous.
And then on Saturday, we have our all day out and about in downtown Sandpoint, where our queer friendly businesses and our allies will be waving their flags. And we're just encouraging people to go and shop there and support them. And that's all day on Saturday. And then at 3:00, our Pride Fest officially begins in the Greenery District. And there is a single entrance to that on the south side. And so if you walk around the block, you can find it. And, we have all kinds of programming all day. So we have an advocacy booth area. So fair where we have, you know, the ACLU there, Pro Voice Project, all kinds of resources. Mm-hmm. United Methodist Church is always there handing out cookies or something. We have a lot of family-friendly activities for the kids, from tie-dyes to friendship bracelet making. And usually somebody has given the kids some temporary tattoos. And then we have our musical guests begin. We have the P-Jammers from Spokane.
So fun.
Yeah, have
Don't
you seen them before?
I have seen them.
They are brilliant.
Marching band in pajamas.
They are as good as the librarians with their book song and beyond.
Get a recording from them if you can.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, that would be fun. That would be fun. And then we have at 5:30, we have a speaking program, and then we have the Best of Sandpoint Pride, where we have a little fashion show, and it's always some like blitzed out 6-year-old who's just wearing like the best tutu who wins that. And then, of course, we have our family friendly drag show. Before that, we have Grace Love from Seattle doing their incredible music performance. So we're excited to have them here this year. And the drag show is always a huge hit, and the kids love it. And Idaho has all these laws about what you can and can't do as a drag performer now. So I can guarantee you it is family friendly.
Right.
And then at 8:30, we have our local girls, the Shook Twins, coming.
Fabulous.
Yeah. And in the late night for the 21 and overs, we have a private party at Pivot Peaks with our favorite DJ, Coral, I don't think we're not calling her a DJ. She's a producer. She's like a world-known phenom and happens to live here. So we always rope her in to supporting our events, and she definitely knows how to bring the party.
Fabulous. I see. You didn't mention bingo.
Oh, I forgot bingo.
You forgot bingo.
We have sassy bingo at 3:30, which is great. It's great put fun. On by the senior center, and they're just like, it's fantastic.
So also family really, friendly. It's a whole community, the downtown businesses, Matchwood, Pivo,
yeah,
iCarts, the seniors. It's fantastic how much the community has come out.
Yeah, and we have so much business support too, and we always need more sponsors. So if you haven't had an opportunity to sponsor Pride, please jump onto our website and let us know. We will plaster your business name everywhere that you want it to be. And then because it's North Idaho, we also understand that some people want to be silent allies, and we have methods for that too. Or if you just want to donate to the cause, like, it's great. It's a huge event to pull yes. off. And I was saying earlier, we had 2,500 people last year, and for a town of 10,000, I mean, we know we serve a broader community here in North Idaho. It's still an incredible outpouring, and we couldn't be more happy to host it.
That is so great. And will there be food? And of course, Matchwood is there, and they'll be Matchwood's open to the public. There.
We have food trucks.
Evans Brothers will
Evans
be open.
Brothers mm-hmm. there. We have some foods and drinks as well. We have a couple of food trucks. I'm not sure who else is coming this year. I'm like, where's the ice cream truck?
For sure.
Yeah, that's what I want to have there.
And then Sunday, official cleanup and yeah. another party at the beach.
Yep. We have, it's not, I don't know if it's leaving at the beach or
oh,
if it's going
regatta.
Yeah, we have a rainbow regatta on Sunday to thank the volunteers and just chill out. We launch somewhere around the beach. Usually we're easy to find. There's usually some wonky houseboat out there and a bunch of paddlers and kayakers and maybe a slide off a pontoon boat, and we really are just like thanking the volunteers and celebrating and coming down from sure. the event. And we do need more volunteers too. So if you volunteer in the past and you haven't found an opportunity to sign up yet, or you've never volunteered and you want to volunteer, just go to the website and
everything's on there. Give yeah. us that address again.
Yeah,
real
it
quick.
Is safe-idaho.org.
Oh, I'm glad you repeated it, because I looked up safe-idaho.org and did not find it. Safe-idaho.org.
All right.
I'm glad you said that, because maybe I said it wrong.
I'm not
before.
Sure. I don't
only have one
hear.
Cup of coffee. But
well, thank you so much, Amy, for coming in, for just to remind us that it's coming up this weekend, and you'll be in the water starting tomorrow night, and it all begins Thursday at 5 to cheer you, and you're swimming with
Lindsay Zimbauer.
Yeah. Fantastic. Good yeah. for you. And good luck on that. And have a wonderful, wonderful weekend.
Thank you, ladies. We hope to see you there.
Oh, sounds great. Best of luck to y'all. And I hope it just is the most fabulous weekend party you ever had. All right. Well, that was a great second interview,
yes,
Julie.
Yes, it was. Let's go out on that song, Julie.
We're going to go out on a high note, a fun note. And it is Queen with I Wanna Break Free. Have a great day, everybody.